What's up, guys? Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the seniors. What's up, Rob Gray?
Oh, not a ton. How about you, Jared?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Back on the grind now.
Yeah.
Got the new website launched.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just doing the same old stuff.
Yeah, just figuring out how to, you know, I'll be posting a Where Are They Now in the next couple days. So we'll see if my tech savviness is up to snuff in terms of just throwing in the passwords right now. That's not tech savviness. That's just not being an old man. So I can figure out how to make it all work. It sounds like a lot of things are going to be much more seamless to throw in there, especially quote tweets. I mean, I think maybe even photos are might be a little bit easier to with the interface.
So Ellis Hobbs is the subject of this week's or this month's Where Are They Now?
Yep.
He said he was a fun interview to do.
He was, yeah. Very interesting to talk to. And I wasn't sure I was going to get him working up, so I've worked ahead a little bit as well. I'll be up in Minnesota again next week.
Yeah.
To kind of wind down the vacations of the summer that I'm want to do. Ellis was really cool to talk to. And I think everyone will really enjoy what he had to say. I'm going to turn a little bit of it into kind of a how-to, you know, that guy really built himself into something, and he's carried on.
Mm-hmm.
His career didn't end when he wanted it to, obviously injury, and he's found a way to carve out a niche professionally in other ways, and just a really interesting guy to talk to.
Yeah, definitely. So there hasn't really been – I don't feel like there's been that much news lately.
Not lately, and it seemed like there
slow
was always,
last couple of days.
Yeah, there was always a fair amount to keep you juggling a few things here and there. But it's nice to get a little bit of a break. I mean, it can't be constant.
Yeah.
If it's constant news, then it becomes normal or routine. So you need bigger news all the time to ratchet it up.
Right.
If you get a few lulls, like probably any program should have, or any athletics department helps keep it on kind of an even flow.
I guess Nigel Tribune did get arrested.
Yeah, that's true. That's news. I don't know what, I mean, man, when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
And this is not, look, DUI, you know, we've all made mistakes. We can have that conversation all the time. And I don't recall him being in trouble for anything before. I mean,
no.
I think he's a good player and a good guy, and I think he's still got a chance to have a really fine senior season. But he's been expected to be an elite sort of lockdown corner they've talked about, and he hasn't quite gotten there. I know injuries have hampered him some of the time. In a weird sense, maybe this, you know, magnifies to him, you know, this is my last shot to really go out and you know, fully realize the potential that I'd showed pretty much after the first couple series that was on the field as a freshman.
How long do you think his suspension will last?
That's a good question, because new staff, you know, this is the first such infraction, at least we know of, in terms of code of conduct situation. So you don't know if they want to put a big stamp on it, or do you want to make sure that they set the trend for what, hey, this is how we're going to deal with these case by case, or is there a cumulative effect? I know what some schools I've covered, when things happen, A, B, C, D, E, once you get to D and E, you're getting a much harsher penalty for the quote-unquote offense than you would have if you were A. So I think that's sort of natural. And look, I'm not hoping for a big progression here. I'm just wondering what it might be. I would guess, I would think standard type of stuff would be a full game, maybe a game and a half, internal stuff, extra duties or things in fall camp, maybe up to two games. I don't know. What do you think? I would think
I'd say maybe like a game and a half.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting. And maybe even a game. And I think it's happened enough in front of the season that there are things that they can do internally to make it clear, you know, that's
not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a big part. I mean, I've talked about this on our podcast a lot, but clearly, in my opinion, by a pretty wide margin Iowa State's most talented position group.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, he's a leader of that group.
Right.
You know, a de facto leader, at least, by virtue of being a senior. So, you know, I'm sure the other guys are putting some pressure on him, too, and I'm sure he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, because I believe he always has, and he's always been a candid guy. I remember him talking about, you know, sometimes guys kind of having their heads down when things weren't going right. And, you know, and he spoke very candidly about what can happen to teams when things go south frequently. So, hope the best for him, because he's always been a laid-back guy when he talks to us, but you can tell he's intense and wants the best for himself and for the team. So, well, however they sort it out, just hope it leads to the type of production he wants to meet for himself.
We're just under a week out from open practice.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where did the summer go?
Week from Thursday. Yeah. Are you going to be there?
I'll still be gone.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if that was going to start before Media Day. I wanted to make sure to be back for Media Day, obviously.
Right.
And I'm kind of bummed that I'll be gone, because I like to be there taking pictures and chatting. Although I know Chris has become a big shutterbug, sort of a photo buff. He'll have some great shots of that deal. But then, obviously, I'll be around. And we'll mix and match, obviously, with some of the availabilities. Availability is a little bit different. Not quite as frequent, I think.
I was looking at the schedule. I mean, they're pretty – there's usually three a week.
Yeah, and I think there might have been a tad bit more at times before. But I think that this, when I looked at that schedule, it looked like the right amount. It looked like the right amount.
There were times last year where we'd show up and it was – it didn't seem like there was anything to talk about that day.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, God love them for allowing the amount of access that there was. But, yeah, you'd been writing, and you'd write stuff live from that, or you'd be saving stuff for ahead, and then it's like, boy, where's today going to go, or does that get filed away into a corner, or is it just a social media day where you update some things? It should be fun. I mean, it starts to get real. The quote-unquote honeymoon sort of comes to an end as you start prepping for UNI and Iowa and TCU, and boom, away we go.
So we're going to talk about tight ends today.
Yeah, let's talk about him. You're going to break him down.
Yeah, I'm writing something right now.
In print.
I'm working on it. I should have that up this afternoon.
Cool.
The thing about the tight ends is it's hard to really like gauge that position, because I don't think we know, or at least I don't know, how they're going to be used.
Exactly.
You know?
I think we get hints that they're going to be
a key part of the offense.
Yeah, but we've heard that in the past, too.
True.
I remember people asking, dare I invoke his name, Mark Mangino, about, are you going to use the tight ends more? You know, going in and it's like, well, we'd like to, you know, but it didn't really materialize. And personnel is a lot of it. I mean, you have an E.J. Bibbs, you've got a guy who it can be your sort of go-to receiver. Now they have that in Alan Lazard.
Did you hear my EJ Bibbs story on the Trail podcast yesterday?
You know what? I started listening on the Trail and I got sidetracked. So you can either fill me in, or I planned on picking it back up and listening this afternoon.
Well, it was just from Media Day. I guess it was 2 years ago, Mark Mangino's first year.
Yeah.
And they talked about how they were going to use the tight end so much more. And I asked EJ about playing tight end.
Yeah.
Or being like used more. Mm-hmm. And I asked 6 questions in 60 seconds.
He was reticent would be the word. I remember when, even on those availabilities that were late, and you know how it's late, you're thinking, okay, can we get EJ Bibbs? There are these guys that just never want to come out and talk. And then he'd sort of reluctantly come out, and then he'd talk. And sometimes when he talked, he was great.
Right.
Once his high school coach, I think, was there, and he was sharing stories about him, and he shared some great stories about his dad. And look, people that are available all the time, love them too.
Yeah.
And some of them are always good all the time too, but some guys who are available all the time don't really tell you much.
Yeah.
Bibbs, when he'd try to he'd sequester himself away, when he did come out, it frequently was really, really, really fun and good stuff. But if you got him in those Media Day situations, we'd be like, oh yeah, are you excited about the possibility of, you know, having more? I feel really good about that.
Right. I don't know that there's anybody that was more different, like, from when the recorders weren't on to the second when it was like, okay, now the recorder's on and we're asking you questions.
Yep. And that he's one of those great guys, too. And it used to be when you recorders weren't ubiquitous. I can sort of remember, even though I'm on that. I always had at least, like, cassette when I started in around 2000 in the late 90s. But you kind of usually ask people. Now it's sort of expected that you're recording it and you're going to transcribe it later. But he's one of those guys where you kind of reluctantly turn it off. Like, oh, what did I get there? And then there's just a couple other little questions, and you're like, I'm going to pull that baby back out and get it going, because he'd surprise you sometimes. Not surprising that he's got a shot to be a breakout player for the Browns. But
for sure. So who do you see being, I guess, like the guy at tight end for Iowa State? Justin Chandler's number one on the depth chart right now.
Yeah.
But is that who you think's going to fit into that role?
Well, right now I'd have to say yes, because he's the only known quantity, even though you don't know a whole lot.
Right.
He's got the body for it, and I liked his hands when you'd see him out there. But I mean, what's intriguing to me is how many times they're going to have two tight ends on the field. And I know we were talking about it before. The second tight end can be fullback and shotgun, and is a flex kind of fullback kind of guy.
Yeah.
But that's the big thing for me, because big emphasis was on wide receiver blocking last year, and it got better.
Right.
If you have more tight ends on the field, that enhances your running game that much more, especially guys who can and will block it well for you, like the wide receivers came around to doing last year. And this will touch on, we'll hit offensive line, but I'd like to see an offense occasionally that does the old, Nebraska would do it. When Iowa had good running backs, they'd do it. Penn State's, Michigan's, Ohio State, that occasionally will go out there and say, we're not going to throw anything fancy at you.
Yeah.
We're going to line these guys up. Maybe there'll be a little motion. Maybe occasionally we'll shotgun. Well, probably a lot of that, but you know what's coming. We're going to hand it off to Mike Warren, and you're going to have to try to stop him, and we're going to block you, and we're going to make it hard. Even the Vikings sometimes, even though their offensive lines weren't always very good, would go on. I remember a whole fourth quarter one game where they did nothing but hand it off tackle to Adrian Peterson constantly, and they drove the field all the time, and it was so rare to see that in a pro game. You know, if Iowa State could do that, I don't know when the last time. I mean, I can think maybe
Troy Davis.
Maybe it's Troy Davis, where it was like everybody knew what was coming, but you couldn't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, we're talking about a patchwork offensive line and tight ends with some promise. You bring in the true freshman Chase Allen, who I'm intrigued to see if he can. I think with most guys, you don't want to burn a red shirt if you have guys that. But, I mean, he's a really talented guy.
I was going to say, I think he's got the tools of someone that. Like, what's a red shirt year going to do?
Exactly.
For him? Except, I mean, you might put some weight on him.
Yep.
But other than that,
he's a coach's son.
Yeah.
A go-getter, an athlete. I mean, that's a guy you probably want to get on the field.
It just makes me think, if he's as good as what we've been led to believe he is, there's no reason to keep him off the field at this point.
Yeah, and that's a great point, is what a red shirt. I mean, it's obvious what a red shirt year would do for, say, an offensive tackle that's undersized or a guard or whatever. But he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, and if you can throw him out there in situations where you need to throw the ball, maybe he's a really good blocker too, because I'd imagine his work ethic is extremely good. So, I mean, he's the most intriguing piece of that group to me.
Definitely.
Right now. I mean, Chandler too, because I know they were starting to get high on him a little bit, and I know he got banged up, and are you going to have a number of situations where you're targeting tight ends, or they're option three in the passing game, or is it just going to be, we're putting out guys to block so we can run it down people's throats consistently?
I feel like if you're using Chase Allen and you want to use him like effectively, he's got to be a receiving option.
Yeah.
You know, that's like you put him out there when you're going to go into your spread formation and you've got five wide and you just use him as a receiver instead of a, like, he is a tight end but he's playing what in a lot of offenses probably a receiver would play. You know,
They did a little bit of that with Bibbs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even downfield.
He would play that slot receiver sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of times it would be a little drag route or something, but I mean, there were times that were not a fly, for instance, but he was, you know, good intermediate route downfield to
right.
him, despite the double teams and all that. But, yeah, in that situation, if you see Chase Allen on the field, you're hoping it's not a line it up and, you know, go off tackle or do a run-of-the-mill running play.
I think Justin Chandler and Cole Anderson can do well in that role, though.
Yeah.
Justin Chandler's a big dude.
Yeah, he is. And Anderson, of course, converted O-lineman.
Yeah.
And you got to think, relish that role a little bit. I know, enjoy catching the potential of catching the ball occasionally, mm-hmm. too, but still going down there and knocking people on their cabooses. So
right.
I think they've got a nice – now, again, depth will be the question there.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about that position, because we've got Chandler and Anderson at the top, and then you've got Chase Allen, who a lot of people have talked about. And then other than that, there's a lot of names that people don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, and you hope they become known.
Yeah.
But in some sense, I mean, if everyone else stays healthy, which is tough to do, excuse me, as we've seen with Iowa State, particularly for anyone who blocks – the last 3-4 years in particular, you know, maybe you don't know a lot more about some of those guys, but mm-hmm. You're going to have enough format, you know, with enough fast moving stuff. You hope that the offense hums enough that you're going to be bringing in your number twos every now and then just for a series to,
right.
to get some stuff going. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, ideally I would say, unless it's a Chase Allen guy, you don't really care how
yeah.
many passes these guys catch. You care whether they're above average blocking tight ends, which
and if
you absolutely will need.
And you care if the offense is productive when they're on the field.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, because the question marks, I feel like we should play like improvised jazz music in the background when we're talking about the offensive line whenever we do it, because how in the world, you know, free form, you know, kind of,
yeah.
you're going to make that work well enough with so much inexperience, but there's a little bit of that here too. But I mean, that's kind of the whole deal. Until we know how a Matt Campbell coached and Tom Manning led Iowa State
right.
teams and then / offense is going to look on the field, we have nothing but speculation to go in, and of course some Toledo, but as he says, you match your scheme to your personnel to some degree too, and it's
right.
not like they came in and, you know, you're playing a video game and a brand new roster you drafted or something. You
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of guys who been in the program for a long time, and see how they adapt to the changes that are sure to occur.
Tight ends coach Alex Golish is the first position coach that'll be available during football or fall camp availabilities, so
yeah.
We'll hear all about the tight ends.
We'll have lots of tight ends. We'll have your breakdown, and then hear Coach Golish speak about that group. That, again, another intriguing group. I mean, you look at this team and think about how we've come into the last few seasons at Iowa State. And
right.
You know, I look, you get killed on both sides. If you say, well, they're coming off a 2-win season,
yeah,
it would be crazy to think that they could get to 500. Then you get people going, wow, you also got this and this, and you're so down on them. And then if you say, well, you know what? They were this close to winning these games last year. They're not that far from being that team that
right.
that gets back to a bowl game. And then it's like, oh, your rose-colored glasses. What are you talking about? It's teams won 8 games the last 3 years. It's funny because you can play it both ways.
Right.
And you could see it both ways. And I think until you've got – I think the UNI game is going to be just hugely important in terms of understanding where the team can go. I mean, you can't pin everything on one game, but you're going to learn everything because you know nothing at this point, particularly with the new staff and some new guys. So
UNI is going to be like top 5 nationally in FCS, aren't they?
Probably.
Yeah.
They've cemented themselves back up there
after a
couple years.
I think I saw in Athlon they were top 5.
Yeah.
In the FCS thing.
Got some players. Got some mobility at quarterback still.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always got tough guys on defense. Guys with chips on their shoulders. So it's a good test whenever you play them. And then you go right into Iowa at Kinnick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're at Ammon Carter Stadium for TCU, I believe.
Yep. And then it's San Jose State.
Indeed. Indeed. So ideally you're at least 2-2
yeah.
after those few. And as we've seen a couple years ago when Cole Netton was a hero, among others, but he made the kick that
mm-hmm.
won it. At Iowa, I mean, in that rivalry.
Right. Anything can happen.
Regardless of where one team was last year or where one team's headed, one's wins and loss-wise, weird things can happen.
So you're going to be gone next week?
I will. I'll be back for a media day, and then I should be around for most every availability after that as we...
You're going to miss the special birthday edition of the seniors. My birthday's on Tuesday.
I will, from the dock at the cabin in Minnesota...
There we go.
I will drink something for you.
A Busch Light.
Yeah. I could... wish we could call in. We should do a call-in thing.
Yeah.
I was going to float something. We could have different kinds of guests, maybe once a month as the season rolls.
Like who?
Just like fans that wanted to join the seniors podcast. Of course, they couldn't be – well, they'd have to meet, we'd have to know who they are
to
some degree. But I don't know. Where are you going with the seniors next week?
I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, I've got to make it it's my birthday. I feel like I have to do something special.
You should do something special. Have Gray join you.
Adam Gray?
Adam Gray.
Yeah. Oh, two enough podcasts.
Yeah, that's
Adam
true.
Gray.
You're grayed out. Then you got to do one with me. So it's Gray.
I'm doing two podcasts with him this week.
Yeah, but they're good podcasts, though.
Yeah, they're fun.
You guys play off each other nicely.
I'll find somebody. I'll get somebody good.
You hide your friendship well.
Yeah. Oh, me and Adam? Yeah, everybody thinks we hate each other. Only a little bit.
Yeah. Everyone hates a friend a little bit.
Well, it's like they say on the podcast, what is it? That there's always that one friend that nobody likes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear his comments about Tupac?
I was stunned. Well, you saw I was in there just berating him about it. Then I got in.
Then he called Suge Knight a bitch.
Yeah, that's not a smart move.
No. Adam's but going down.
He's a
Compton's coming after Adam Gray.
He's a fearless. Adam's a fearless dude.
No kidding.
On Twitter.
All right. You good?
I'm good. I'll enjoy the vacation next week. I wish you a happy birthday, and then back in full force all across the – and I hope everyone's enjoying the new website too.
Definitely.
I'll get my feet wet in it, as I said, but – love the redesign, and you had a great idea about just some of the branding with the icons and all that too. So, well done.
For Rob, I'm Jared. Have a good week, everybody.